Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for our gathering today unto you to give you thanks. And you said in your word that we should give you thanks with understanding. We shouldn't just thank you ignorantly. We should do it with faith and with understanding. Father, as I come to share these few words, I pray you will anoint me afresh. Lord God, help me speak as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who is here and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this truth and your word and revelation will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal work in all of our hearts, in particular this work of giving thanks well, that all of us will have understanding, and as we go into the Thanksgiving service, we will do it well in a way that will bring you blessing, that will refresh you, that will please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, all those that are outside should come in. I know some people are still struggling, and that's okay. You know, as you just come in, just quietly settle down as we go into the Thanksgiving. I think I did mention, you know, that the whole service is dedicated to Thanksgiving. And so that's why there's no Bible study. There's nothing else today. It's just Thanksgiving. Now, let's define a few things so we can have understanding. What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice that we give to bless and refresh God. Now, that sounds funny. How can you bless God? What do you want to give God that God doesn't have? How can you bless God? You know, I think it was Paul who said in the book of Hebrews, he said, there's no contradiction, you know, the less is blessed by the greater. In other words, if somebody has to be greater than you to be able to bless you. You know, talking about Melchizedek and all of that in Hebrews chapter 7. But here, the Bible actually tells us that we should bless God. So, well, of course, we're not greater than God, but it means that there's something we have inside us that God needs. And that is a great truth. You know, we see this. We'll just put a few scriptures behind this. Look at Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Bimbo, for getting me that. Yeah, 7:7. So there's something. It doesn't mean we're greater than God, but it means that there's something we can give God that God doesn't have. And I'll explain it as I go on. Now, in Luke chapter 24. It's the last verse, I think it's verse 53. Luke chapter 24, verse 53. Look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter 24. That's the last chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24 and verse 53. Hello, somebody. Where are you up there? Okay. And in that scripture, it says, let's all read it together. Say, and we're continually... Turn to your neighbor and say, your thanksgiving ought to be continuous. And we're continually in the temple praising and doing what? Blessing God. Turn to your neighbor and say, how can you bless God? You're not bigger than God. How can you bless God? He says, praising and blessing God. So we can actually bless God. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great truth. I'll never forget the first time I saw this. You know, years ago, I said, wow, how can I bless God? What does that mean? You know, it's God who blesses us. But now it's telling us to bless God. So praise, thanksgiving, and praise and worship, when it is done properly with understanding, actually blesses God. And there is a reason why. There is a reason why. The reason is this. God creates and sustains all creation. And so God is constantly expending spiritual power, is constantly coming out of God to firstly create, and then secondly to sustain or maintain what he has created. So there's a constant outflow of power from God. It's eternal. It's happening all the time. When we praise and we bless God, what happens is that we give God, we recycle back to God some of that power that he has expended in creating us, in sustaining creation. And when we do that, something wonderful happens. God is refreshed. God is blessed. Let me use a natural example. If you eat, you take food, you know, it goes into your body digests it, then you use that energy that the food gives you to work. You know, you go and do some work, both be it physical or mental. You know, after you've worked and worked and worked for some time, you get, exhausted a little bit. And you need to go back and rest and eat to replenish the power that you have expended. And so that's why after you've done a lot of work, you need some type of refreshing. Spiritually, it's exactly the same that happens with God. God has expended and is expending a lot of spiritual power. So when we praise and we worship God and we thank Him, we are giving back to God, and that thanksgiving actually refreshes Him. Because the Bible tells us I'll share two scriptures with us. One is in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. It says, of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. You see a cycle. I would say, of Him, I didn't hear you. Then through Him, as in creation, and to Him are all things. To Him, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that you see a cycle. That's why you find in nature, you have a lot of cycles. People in science and technology will tell you, you've got the water cycle, you've got nitrogen cycle, you've got Krebs cycle. At least I remember those three, from my chemistry and all of that. You know, there's a cycle. So even in God, there's a cycle of eternal life and power. He releases power, it creates, that power sustains, and then some of it goes back to Him. Goes back to Him, and when it goes back to Him, it refreshes Him, it blesses Him. That is why, listen to what Jesus said. You know, it's a great statement I'm about to make, and it's a statement we're familiar with, but I want to emphasize a part of it that we may not be so familiar with. And it is this: He says, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. He says, I tell you of the truth, talking to the woman at the Samaritan well. He says, they that worship God must worship Him what? In spirit and in truth. But this is the statement I want to get. He says, and for the Father seeketh. It means God needs it. Now, God doesn't need anything in the sense like we do. You know, what are you going to give God? Are you going to give me a car? Are you give me a house? Or no. But He needs that refreshing. He seeketh such. He seeketh it. It's something it does to God's heart. Look at Genesis. It's Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. And look at verse 17. Exodus 31, verse 17. These truths are not very common to in the understanding of most Christians. You know, all we think about is God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me. And that's nothing wrong with that, because that's what God is. His nature is to give. But there is a time and a place where we are to give back to God. And we have to give Him what can bless Him. And the only thing that can really bless Him is what came from Him. What are you going to give Him? You're not going to give Him anything physical. That's why it's a spiritual sacrifice. Look at Exodus. Very good. He says, talking about the Sabbath, it says, a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Now, everybody read this together with me and say, and on the seventh day, He rested and was what? Turn to your neighbor and say, can God be refreshed? Yes. The Bible says so. It means He had expended power. So God needed refreshing, just like you and I need refreshing. You know, when you really thank God properly, when you do it from your heart with honesty and sincerity, and good quality spiritual substance, it blesses God's heart just in the same way God gave me an illustration, that you are refreshed when you, like I was giving that illustration, you know, physically, when you're refreshed with food or you're refreshed with rest, then God gave me a lovely illustration. He told me this some weeks or months ago. He said, when you praise me properly, he says, and when you worship me properly, he said, you know how you feel when you've been out in the sun, you've worked, you know, then you come back to a cool room, and then either a fan or an air conditioner. Do you know how you feel refreshed? He said, what that thing, when it's coming out of your mouth, he said, it freshens me like that air conditioner. Give the Lord a clap, offering. It's a real refreshing. That's why in one of the Old Testament typologies, it says a sweet smelling savour. It's the same thing. You know, he said, you don't know what you're doing to me. He said, you are refreshing me. He said, don't be in a hurry. Refresh me properly. Refresh me properly. That's why one of the analogies, one of the expressions for the spirit in the Hebrew is breath. In fact, the Hebrew word spirit is rosh, is breath. Breath. So when you're giving thanks to God, you know, you're releasing spiritual breath. It's like the air, you know, but it's spiritual. And then it enters God's heart and it what? Refreshes him. No wonder he seeketh such to worship him. Most of the people only just come and get something. They are not interested in refreshing him. And that's why it is so important to God. And when you do it and you do it properly, there is a place inside God's heart it touches. And then it endears you to him. He said, he seeketh such to what? Worship him. It endears you. You become precious. We've said this in recent times, but it bears repetition. It's one of the things that David learned. And that's why, watch this. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. Let's put it another way, a man who refreshes my heart. I that's a twist on that, but that's the spirit behind, one of the spirit behind that statement. A man that what? Refresh. Look at all those psalms. Where did David learn that thing? When he was looking after his father's sheep in the wilderness, David would just be singing, you know, and just blessing God. He didn't know what he was. He was refreshing. So God said, I have found a king for my people. I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart who will do what? All my will. He is refreshing my heart. So when you begin to do this and you do it properly, you become you endear yourself to God. You become special to God in that sense, and God will look after you, because it's not everybody that refreshes him. So, yeah, the people who refresh him have a special place in his heart. And this brings us to the next thing. Why is it that a lot of people do not refresh God and bless God? Because the true thanksgiving, the true worship is a sacrifice. And a sacrifice costs something. If it was easy and everybody could just do it, everybody would just do it. But most people don't do it because I want to qualify that statement. They don't do it well. I think everybody praises God. Amen. You know, even the unbeliever say praise God, praise God, praise God. But what's the quality coming out? And that's why the Bible talks about giving thanks well. In other words, it is possible not to give thanks well, even though he gave thanks. And that's the reason why I'm giving this short exhortation. right now. We got to understand that there's quality of thanksgiving. There's quality of worship. Worship can be of a low quality. It can be of a high quality. It's the high quality one that refreshes him. I've used this illustration over the years. You know, I use the illustration of ice cream because, you know, it's the illustration that just came to my heart. You know, you can, there are different qualities of ice cream. How many people know what I'm talking about? There is some ice cream that is just like, you know, it's just like, you know, they just put ice water together. It has very little cream. It has very little substance. It's ice cream. But it's, well, it's cheap ice cream and it's, you know, has all kinds of things. It's not very nice. And then it's ice cream when you take it. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the quality of the cream, the quality of the... And one tastes very nice. The other one is okay. You know, this is cold, praise the Lord. And, you know, if you're feeling hot, it's, but, you know, you can't compare the two. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the way our quality of praise and worship is. There's one that is of high quality. There's one that's of low quality. And what determines the quality of the praise and the worship and the thanksgiving is the heart of the person, the quality of the heart of the person that is giving it. You know, even the wicked praise God. How many people know that? The Bible says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. He's making a sacrifice, but, you know, because of his heart contaminates the sacrifice. So the sacrifice is not, it doesn't bless God. But you find out a person, you know, the heart is right, then the quality of what he's giving is of a great quality that will really bless God. We need to understand this. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. So he makes a sacrifice. So now let's just share a few things here as I begin to round up here. Number one, it says spiritual sacrifice. I didn't hear you. This is in contrast to the physical sacrifice of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they would kill animals, you know. But in the New Testament, what we have are spiritual sacrifices. It is not a physical sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. What we're going to be doing this later this morning, as we continue the service and into the afternoon, when we close, is a spiritual sacrifice. It's coming out of our hearts. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hello, somebody. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 5. So you also, talk to your neighbor, say he's talking to you and I. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual what? Sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is in contrast, we won't turn there, I'll just hit it running. You know, to the physical sacrifices of the Old Testament. In Psalm 50, God tells them, he said, the cattle on a thousand hills is mine. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, am I going to drink the blood of bulls and of goats? Then he said, offer thanksgiving unto the Lord and pay your vow unto him. In other words, what I really want is what's coming from your heart. Not that physical sacrifice. So the sacrifice that God is looking for is a spiritual sacrifice, and the Bible says it's acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and Hebrews chapter 13, let's look at it. The Bible says faith comes by, my wife just whispering to me, said the word is very important so that they will have faith. So we do it properly. Over the years, I've schooled myself, and I'm still doing it, to make sure I praise God properly. I don't just do it carelessly, you know. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It talks about, you know, by him, therefore, I didn't hear you. Let us offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is what you should be doing continually as a Christian. But we're doing a special one today, you know, in this service. That is what? The Where? The fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks. So when you say, Father, thank you, and you say it from the right heart, with a heart of gratitude, you know, it, what, something is coming out of your mouth. It's the power of God. It's the same Zoe that he gave you to create you. Then of your own free will, you're giving some of it back to him. And when it enters his heart, it refreshes him. It blesses him. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Now, I've said all of this, you know, because God is constantly expending power. Now, I'm going to say something that will blow the religious mind. You know, because you see, most people have a utopian, childish, so when I was a child, I thought as a child, unrealistic picture or understanding of who God is. Now, listen to what I'm about to say very carefully. Of course, God is omnipotent, and God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent, you know. But you know, when God, for God to make anything, they say he made something out of nothing. No. God doesn't make anything out of nothing. He makes something from himself. He has to take something out from himself to make something. So watch this and listen to me very carefully. When he takes something out of himself to create, then his original state is a little bit lower than what he had before. It has to be. So when you now give thanks to God, you are giving back to God, you're replenishing some of what he has used. I don't know if you got it. That's why you can bless him. That's why you can refresh him. I know religious people say, you know, you cannot give it. It's not true. There's some... God in his original pristine state, before he made anything, was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons of the Godhead. When God made Dr. Williams, I don't use him as a type, he took something from himself. He says, and he breathed into his breasts the breath of life. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. When he did it into Dr. Williams, or into Mommy Sarah, or into Pastor Guega, what he gave them was eternal and permanent. He doesn't take it back. That is why spirit beings are eternal. So there's something from God that has gone out of him he can never get back. He's taking it out of himself. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He's taken out of himself and is there. He's given to you permanently. You can do what you like with it. He has made you in his image and his likeness and given you a free will. Now, for those who choose to give him thanks, well, what they are doing is that they are taking some of what he has given and say, here's back to you. I appreciate you. It blesses him. Because there are some he will never get anything back from. Although, when they suffer in hell for eternity, he's not going to get everything. He just gets a little bit back. The Bible says the smoke of their torment will rise up, you know, day and night. But it's not the same thing as if they were in heaven and then they were giving it to him of their own free will. Is of a far greater volume and measure than the one that's coming from their suffering. So to that degree, God has lost something. Show you, Washa. It's heavy. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before creation is a little bit lower than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit today. Not lower, of course, not in quality, but, you know, there's something of him that has gone out and that he doesn't take back. Because you can never stop existing. You are eternal just like God is eternal. And he's made you an eternal spirit being with your free will and all of that. And that's how it is. He thought through all of that before he made anything. That's why he created the plan of redemption before the foundation of the world. And he knew that at least there would be some of them that would give back to me and refresh me. That's why it's so precious in the sight of God that he seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit. It's only that breath that can. It's that breath he gave you that can bless him. There's nothing else you can give him. Remember, the Hebrew word for spirit is breath. So they that worship must. Look at the word he used. This is the second person of the Godhead talking by revelation. He said, they that worship must. It has to be. Must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. That's the one that blesses him. Your physical sacrifices don't bless him. Now, they can be an indication of a good heart, which is not bad, you know. But if you really want to bless and refresh him, it has to be spirit. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay. Now, I'm closing now. We'll start the praise and worship. This is so important. So, how then do we worship God? I'm going to begin. We worship God, you know, by speaking words, because words are spirit and they are life. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, or rather in the book of Proverbs, it says, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you speak, you can either speak words that contain life, the Zoe, the life of God, the thing that's inside God that makes God God, or you can speak words that contain death. Obviously, death does not minister to God. So, and of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So consequently, for you to really worship God, to give God good quality praise and worship, your heart has to be right. Because it is from the heart your words come. And that's going back to David again. You know, that's why he said, I found in David. It means God was looking for it. The word found, you know, for example, if I misplace the key of my car and I get home, you know, I ask praise or one of the brethren or people who are around me, I say, have you found my keys? So I've been looking for them. Have you found my keys? Then someone said, Pastor, it's under this table here. I found it. It means we are looking for it. The Bible says, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. You know, it's like, men after my own heart, you don't find them on the table. You have to look for them. No wonder why the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's he looking for? He's looking for a heart that's perfect towards him, that's upright. A heart that can give him quality praise and worship. It's not a common thing. Because many people's hearts, because of dishonesty, because of rebellion, because of, you know, pride and all of that, you know, their hearts are contaminated. So whatever is coming out of their mouth is contaminated. It can't minister to God. I don't know if you're getting me. So number one, to give God quality praise and worship, the heart has to be right. Honest, humble, you know. That's why it says, they that worship must worship him. What? In spirit, but it didn't stop there, and in truth. Because even if it is spirit, if the truth is not there, it will contaminate the spirit that's coming out. I don't know if I've talked to anybody here. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? In spirit and in what? I didn't hear you, folks. In truth, honesty, sincerity. Number one. Number two, the words in the understanding. That is words that you understand in your mind. Look at Psalm 47. One of the minstrels quoted from this earlier today. Although they read from Psalm 118, but they mentioned this. Psalm 47, and I'm just going to look at verse 7. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Look at what it says. Psalm 47, yes. For God is king. God is the king of all the earth. You need to tell all of heads of state that. Praise the Lord. They think they are king. They're not. Well, they are. But, you know, remember, he's king of kings. And he's lord of lords. And he's the God of gods. There be lords many and gods many. But there is one God who is the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He is the king of all the earth. Now watch this. Sing ye praises with what? Don't just sing like a donkey. You know, people just sing. You know, that's why Kenneth Hagin said what he said that I quoted from. He said, a lot of our praise and worship is in the flesh. What does that mean? You know, people come to church to come and sing and dance as a substitute for disco. Born again can't go to disco, so he comes to church. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to qualify that. But you know, if I am doing it, and I'm doing it just because I'm enjoying the soulish enjoyment of just singing and praising, and it's not from the heart, then we say it's in the flesh. In the flesh, in the sense that I'm doing it, I'm excited just the way somebody is excited when he's watching football. Hello? Or when he's in a party and he hears a nice song that he likes, and then he starts to do his body like this and all of that, you know, and so he's enjoying the music and he's enjoying the melody and all of that. Let me give a very, very good example. You know, it just come to me. I think Pastor Larry is somewhere at the back there, and Pastor Kunle, they told me this, the true confession. This was before they got born again, and they used to be boys, you know, guys around town. So this song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Etrakona, they used to sing it in parties. True story. Now, you know, the DJ would just put that, he would just spin that one. And all the boys liked it because of the melody. They hadn't a clue. They didn't have a clue what that song was saying. So once I remember it was Kuli and Larry, they told me, they said, Pastor, I have to confess my sins. They said, before I got born again, he said, I like Oriegon. We used to like that in parties, everybody would all go, you know, Hell Shaddai, quickly. You know, you go and get a girl and you go and start dancing with the girl. Hell Shaddai. They didn't know what it meant. That's like some Christians come to church and dance like that and they don't know what they are saying. Another very popular one was Boney M, remember? By the rivers of Babylon. It was very popular in all the parties in the 1970s and 80s. Immediately we hear, by the all of us just get up and start that. We had no clue. By the rivers of Babylon, where we stand, we don't know. It was the river. It was in Babylon. Only a shadusha. Now, that's why sing praises with what? Understanding. Don't just sing. Just because you like the music. And just because you like the lyrics and the like, and just, you know, you just starts doing it in the flesh. Anyway, it's a good place to start. Praise the Lord. You know, I tell my wife, I say, I'd rather the young people do it in church. You know, even if it's in the flesh, do it in church instead of in the disco. Very soon we'll move you from flesh to spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. At least they're not far from the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Amen. So you can say, but you know, God doesn't want us to sing like that. He wants us to do the same thing by the rivers of Babylon, you know, and El Shaddai. But I want to not sing El Shaddai knowing what I'm saying. And then I'm what is coming out of my heart is a sacrifice to God. and not just something that makes me feel good emotionally. There's nothing wrong in that. Let me qualify that. There's nothing wrong in feeling good emotionally, but I must minister to God first. Now, of course, if in ministering to God I also enjoy it, there's nothing wrong in that. Is this clear? But if all I do is just enjoy it emotionally, and God is not the focus, and I'm not ministering to the Lord, then it's in the flesh. Is it clear? Is it clear? Good. So, number one, it has to be from the heart, an honest heart. Number two, it has to be with understanding. Number three, in the spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to close now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and look at verses 14 to 17. Good. Now it says, if I pray, I didn't hear you folks, in an unknown tongue. Don't your neighbor say, this is one of the reasons why tongues is so important. My spirit prays, I didn't hear you folks, but my understanding is unfruitful. What that just simply means is that I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking, it's just like somebody speaking French or somebody speaking Russian. I don't understand what they're saying. So when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking a language. It could be an earthly language. It could be a heavenly language. The Bible talks about a heavenly language, speaking of tongues of men and of angels. So I'm speaking, but I don't know what I'm saying. It doesn't mean what I'm saying is not good, it's good, but I just don't understand. My mental faculties don't understand it. Now, next verse. What is it then? I didn't hear you, folks. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray what? With the understanding. But he doesn't stop there. I will sing with the Spirit. We just did it now. So whenever you sing a song or like a hymn, you sing it in English, then you sing it in tongues. What are you doing? You're taking that breath. You're taking that. Then you're ministering to God at another level. I just got a tweet from heaven. God was just telling me. He said, use this to explain to them. He said they will get it. You know, there are some songs, when you sing it in English, you enjoy it. But when you sing it in your native language, there is a difference. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You are talking to God in his native language. He said they will get it. You spoke it to him in English, then you're not speaking to him in a heavenly language, in his own language. They say, hey, we ain't you money. You know, particularly Yoruba, you know, there's some things you say it in English, but you don't say it. But when you now say it in Yoruba or in Igbo or any other language, when you say it in your name, there is a depth of understanding. There is a depth of communication that thing gives that you don't get when you're speaking in, honey, you are the linguist, in L2. You know, my wife, she's a phonologist. She has a PhD in English. So when she was doing her first PhD, which we didn't finish because of the children, then we did the second one. I was the one who did that job. No, it was her master. So when she was doing her master's thesis, I sat down with her. I was, praise the Lord. So that's why I remember. One is L1 and L2. L1 is your native language. L2 is a second language you learn on top of your native language. So what happens, you know, you can do all this, you know, they have those things, phonetics lab and everything. So what they one of the things she did was called interference. So what happens is that if you are Yoruba, if your Yoruba is what you speak, your L1, you understand, your mother tongue, you know, there are certain things you pronounce. And then when you come to English, you now take that Yoruba pronunciation and then you take it into English. You know, that's why I say, so sure. I'm about to king so. On his own sword. His L1 is interfering with L2. Even not try again. Maybe I got PhD vibe. Praise the Lord. But when you go in tongues, there's no interference. When you speak in tongues, no interference. You are giving to God its original. Are you got it now? You can see, when you don't pray in tongues, you are shortchanging yourself. Especially when it comes to thanksgiving. You say, I will pray in the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will pray in the understanding. I will sing in the understanding. I will also sing in the spirit. Now, look at the next thing he says. Verse 17. He said, or else how you shall bless. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm blessing God with the spirit. I'm giving him that refreshing. I'm not talking to anybody here. How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen and I give no thanks? Seeing he understandeth, he's talking about the natural man. Verse 17, I'm going to close. For verily thou givest thanks, what? When you do it in tongues, you do it well. God feels really refreshed. You didn't speak to him, you spoke to him in L1. You spoke to him in his native language. The tongues of men and of angels. You know, you're no longer thanking God with a natural, with a earthly language. Level has shifted. You're now thanking God with a heavenly language. Then you say, angels, come on here. Come on here. Come on here. One of my children is talking. The angels will hear the whole of heaven. Heaven and angels bow. Him, we worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Holy are you, Lord God.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Glory to God.
When an angel's bow,
we redeem. We worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Can you hear the sound? Hallelujah.
Can you hear the sound of heaven? Like the sound of many waters. It's the sound of worship. Coming from his throne.
Hallelujah.
There are cries of adoration. As men from every nation. Lift your voice to make his glory known. Sing it, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Thank you.
Name we worship. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This is what heaven wants to hear. God wants a resonance between heaven and the earth. The same frequency, so to speak. Not exactly, but it's just an illustration. So you're singing in on the earth, but because you are singing in heaven's language, you now synchronize with what they are singing in heaven. Aha! You can then approach the throne. It means a lot to God. It means a lot. There's something you are giving to God from what He's given out. And there is a refreshing and a blessing He gives him that nothing on this earth can give him. You can't give him a car. You can't give him a house. That's why he told David. He said, David, you've done well. I thank you for the thought of your heart. He said, but what house will you build for me?